That'd be nice. We don't have to have Melinda come back up and light them all up again. Yeah.
Well, good morning. As Mike is calling, welcome back in Flatlands. Mel, Ruth, Suzanne, Heidi, Jolinda, nice to see all you folks up there. When Reggie was talking about kind of hating to interrupt people as they were talking and fellowshipping. I know some of you have heard the story before, but I did that one time in one of my classes where we had a plan. I had a plan. The kids did their routine, came up, got their equipment, and went out and they were playing badminton. And they did that for 40 minutes. All I did is stand there and take attendance. And then this kid finally came up to me and said, "When are we starting?" I'm like, "You're done. It's time to change up and go back to your next class." So we might do that one day. You never know. We're done. We have been for an hour and a half, and then someone says, "When are we going to start?" Well, we're done. We actually did that one time with prayer. We went into a prayer mode at the Northwoods Christian Church, and we prayed for 45 minutes or an hour, and then the service was over. There was no music. There was no message. It was just prayer. So you never know what the Lord's going to do.
It happened. Your cable later is causing a problem.
Oh, I'm glad there's someone addressing. Usually Melinda does that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. It may come around again, and you have to fix it. So I was thinking about this the other day. Bill Belichick, some of you may know him. He's the coach of the Patriots. And he was winning with Brady and everyone. Everyone loved him. And he was different, but everyone loved him. He's losing right now, and everyone's calling for his firing. But he hasn't changed. The other day, after they beat, they upset the Steelers, they asked him about rumors about him being fired or whatever. He says, "All I'm concerned about is preparing for Kansas City." So anyway, I work for a company called NSM Sports, and I broadcast hockey games with Butch Ladd, high school hockey games. And so the other night we did a game. Berlin High School played Kennett. They beat them 4-0. And they outplayed them and everything. So we're talking to the coach of the high school, the Berlin High team, and asking him about what his thoughts were about the game. He said, "The next time we play them, they're probably going to beat us." So I'm thinking, they just had a big game, they outplayed this team, but he's concerned that they didn't do certain things right that could come back to haunt him down the road. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just like that. In my years of coaching, it didn't matter if we won or lost, the game's over, the scoreboard is at 0-0, and I'm focusing on the next game, or on the basics, or on things that we did right that we need to keep doing, the things that we did wrong that we need to improve on. So I'm kind of like that, I guess, as a church leader or whatever, or in the family. It's always like, "Okay, that was a good game, but let's move on." So, and always stick with the fundamentals, drills, routine, day after day, add things, but you go back to the basics. And as a leader in the body here, I kind of feel like that's what I bring. It's like, let's not forget the basics. Let's stick with the basics. Yes, we keep growing, but don't forget the basics. So anyway, with that being said, I'm not going to apologize for the way I am. Reggie's a little different. John's a little different. Whoever brings a message has a different approach and different experiences. But so you have to bear with me. So many of us, over the course of time, have read about, read it puts in the scriptures, and Hollywood does all kinds of things, and people write things up about the virgin birth. And, preachers will preach it, biblical scholars will preach it. Hollywood has a take on what it was like when Mary found out that she was going to have a baby as a virgin. Movie producers, Christian producers, and secular also have their take on what happened. The Chosen is probably a good example of what maybe goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Like, you don't read about specific things about the apostles going home with their families and the things they're dealing with in their families. We just read the basic stuff. So a lot of it is assumed or presumed that this is the way it is. And I don't know exactly the way it is unless you've been there and done that. Many have assumed, many have predicted, and they empathize with Mary and Joseph about what went on when the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary. So that's kind of going to be my focus today. Other than Elizabeth, when you think about the course of history, no other person, and like Elizabeth's was a little bit different. You know, she was older when she had her baby, but her circumstances were different, but no one went through what Mary went through in the course of history. Now, Laura, she had something out of that point about, you know, losing loved ones and tragedies in life and all that. And we all have been through that. But no matter what, medical, financial, personal issues, you know, whatever, you know, we can say, well, if I was going to be in that situation, this is what I would do. But unless you've been there, you can't know what you're going to do. Well, if I was diagnosed with cancer, this is what I'd do.
Right.
Well, unless you're there. And I mean, even with Melinda, we're in this together with her cancer thing, but it's her. It's her body. And I can be there and support her and encourage her and pray with her and help her make decisions, but it's her. It's her situation. I deal with it different because I'm in a different place than she is. And everyone else who's been, everyone in this room has been through stuff. So anyway, you can identify to a certain extent, but unless you've been there, you can't know what you're going to do. We all respond, react, and we deal differently with issues in many, many different ways. And none of them are right and none of them are wrong. It's what God puts on your heart to do to respond to what's going on in your life. So think about it. So think about Mary. And what we're going to do right now, by the way, which I don't want to forget, this is the most important part, is we're going to read the account of Mary's visit, or Gabriel's visit with Mary from Luke 1, 26-38. You know me, I like audience participation, so we're all going to read this together. Ready? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin to the nation was named Jesus,
of the house of David.
The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." So she was deeply troubled about his state, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.
Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I am not a virgin to a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One you are will be called the Son of God. And considering your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son at her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who is called Adam. For nothing will be impossible with God. I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel left her.
So that's her account. That's the account of her and Gabriel. So think about it. If someone comes up to you and kind of has a word for you, and you're kind of like, why are they acting that way towards me? Why are they saying that? What's hidden behind that statement? And that's kind of what she said. When Gabriel said some things to her about being highly favored, the Lord's with you, she wondered what hidden message that particular greeting might have. What's going on behind the scenes here? Now, she's a teenager. Again, you have to put yourself as a teenager, for those of us who are not teenagers. Remember
barely
those days?
barely a teenager, correct?
Yeah, right, barely. So I'm sure that there was some emotions that came into play, like fear, confusion. Probably she wasn't that excited about that news. She was probably a little unhappy, not very joyful. These emotions might have increased when Gabriel told her not to fear, that she had found favor, which is, favor is a free, spontaneous, absolute, and loving kindness from God. Still, a few lingering doubts as to where this was going. Okay, what's next? He's saying all these things, what's next? The clincher. Gabriel told her of her upcoming pregnancy, resulting in giving birth to a baby boy and naming him Jesus. So throw that on the fire, and that's like putting gas on it. Now we got some trouble. A little bit more stress maybe for Mary? I would say so. I mean, even if we're not in that situation, just a natural response from us would be, whoa, what's going on here? And then he continues with the explanation of who the baby Jesus will be called and what he will do. So it's not just a baby. This is something special. Someone special. By then, she must have been more stressed and more confused than ever before. And I'm speculating that. But there are certain things that you can kind of think, yeah, that's probably the way it's going to be. If that was me, that's what I'd be doing. Finally, Mary asked the question in the midst of this shocking news, how could this be? So at least she responded, okay, you've given me this information, but how can that be? I need some answers. The further explanation was that the Holy Spirit would work and the power of the Most High would overshadow her, no matter what she's going through, what she's thinking. Some relief? Maybe, but in verse 37, as we read, the angel explained that nothing is impossible with God. We can take that to heart. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So if the angel's telling her this is coming from the Lord, coming from God, and nothing is impossible with him, then she has to maybe have a little change of mind or change of heart. And there did seem to be a change in her when she said, and I quote, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you say, it's okay. I'm all in." And then she headed off to talk to Elizabeth, and I'm sure they had some interesting conversation. So this pre-Christmas message is directly focused on having joy in the midst of stuff. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to pick on Marie. And Marie, could you just stand up for just 1 second? I know you love, I'm not going to make you say anything. Could you just turn and look at the clock? Now, is that a picture of joy? Right here? Maybe not right this second, but when you walk in and that smile is there, and that Christmas sweater, it's not an ugly Christmas sweater. You sit down here. But, I mean, there are other people in this group, but that kind of couple, when I first came in, and she was up in the parking lot, well, that's joy. That's my message to her. How about a little girl going up and singing as her grandmother? Yeah. And then going over and hugging her other great-grandfather. And then going over to Marie and kind of, That's joy.
Yeah, it is.
And you can't script that.
No.
That's joy. And the smile, she comes in and gives me a kiss on the cheek. That's joy. I don't care what's going on in your life. That's joy. So, did somebody have something to say? I thought I heard something. You know, with the Advent ceremony this morning, the word was joy. And so when we were going to find someone to do that, I was looking at it and thinking, I think I'm going to do a message on joy. This is not necessarily, for some people, a joyous time of year. Circumstances, life trials and tribulations can create stress, anxiety. I think Sean used the word exhaustion. And those things can happen. But it can be and should be a joyful, pleasant time for all, or it can be stressful beyond belief, and for some, downright joyous. Even people who are normally, you know, enthusiastic or whatever about things, that can bring you down. Now, I found out something the other day. I was looking through some stats or whatever. As a coach, I do that, but I found some information from a group called the Annenberg Public Policy Center, and they do surveys and they talk to different people and come up with these different solutions about things or whatever, but in polls. But they actually said that suicide rates are lower during Thanksgiving and Christmas time than they are in the springtime. And I kind of was like, that's kind of weird. Because one of the things that Thanksgiving and Christmas does is it brings families together. I mean, people travel, like I mentioned a few Sundays ago, like 50 million people would have to travel, or 50% of the people travel beyond 50 miles from home during the holidays. So there is a chance of getting together with family. Not everyone can do that, but there are people here that do. Most suicides take place in the spring. You know, talking about new hope and everything, you think it could be the other way around. It's in the springtime. But stress and anxiety rise during the months of November and December, which can cause depression, as I mentioned before, even if you're not normally a depressed person. So it's not just about holidays. Think about it. North Country, if we get a few days of sunshine, we're lucky. The days are getting shorter until December 21st, when it's the shortest day of the year, and then it goes the other way. And I can't wait for that. The sun's going to come up early and go down later. But yesterday, a good example, beautiful day. And I'm not speculating anything. I'm just saying, all of a sudden, hundreds, it seemed like, jets are just going everywhere. And the next thing you know, the sun's behind this cloud up there that wasn't there before. Planes are going everywhere. And again, I'm not going to get political. I'm just saying, all of a sudden, it went from a beautiful day, and it wasn't clouds coming in. It was whatever was going on up there. And it started, the sun disappeared. But without the sun, S-O-N and S-U-N, we can't get depressed. I don't know about anyone here, but 4:30, I'm ready. I'm in my pajamas. You know? And I can remember working with my, when I was in British Columbia in 75, I was working for a roofing contractor over there. And we sat at 7 a.m., and we'd work until 11 p.m. when the sun was down. And we had just as much energy at 8 or 9 p.m. as we did at 7 a.m. because of the sun. So when that sun's not out, we put our Christmas lights on with a timer at 3:45 when it starts to get dark. You think that has an effect on you? Oh, yes. Lack of sunlight and lack of sunlight can affect your mind and your attitude. It's called SAD, very appropriately called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Summertime, I'm pretty lively. Like, we could be cutting hay and blowing hay at 8 o'clock at night, and now it's like right after 3:30 or 4 o'clock, time to eat and get the PJs on, like I said. So You have high expectations. It's Christmas time. High expectations. Your daily routines are vastly disrupted. Anyone agree with that? I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, I'm not going to be able to go to my son's basketball game on Friday night because we have an office party. But he didn't seem that happy about that. So you have disrupted routines. You have family gatherings. You know, we were thinking this morning, maybe we should have done Christmas on Saturday instead of Monday, because we have sons who work shifts and stuff, and I'm not sure if we're all going to be able to make it. It's like, and the calendar, huh, Melinda? The December calendar, it's like there's so much stuff written in there. I thought it was bad when we had three kids playing sports and stuff. But I'm like, you know, like, what's that saying, Melinda? I can't read it. It's so small. And then we have a calendar where we have all of our anniversaries and birthdays and you know, deaths and all that, and December's filled. Financial stress can be it can be more dramatic, I guess, during this time. I went out the other day to do a little shopping. I was at Marshall's. My goodness, they got some stuff. And I wasn't going to buy anything because I don't do much Christmas stuff. I usually do it on my birthday. I go out and get a cup of coffee, buy myself, have a donut, and I go shopping. That's on the 24th, by the way. And I just kind of sit there and watch people, and I'm like, oh, they're all running around, and I'm just looking here and looking there. But anyway, it can be stressed financially. Now, when you're a December baby in New Hampshire, you've got vehicle registrations.
Yep.
You've got inspections. I just got my truck inspected the other day. I just registered two vehicles. And if it wasn't
taxes.
Your car, I'd be
taxes.
In good shape. And then taxes. This year, taxes came out later. I don't know about Dunn, but in my or Burling, but in my own, they came out later. Usually they're due December 1st. Now they're due December 28th. So you got taxes, registration, inspection, Christmas, like things to buy or whatever, and then you've got your regular monthly payments and stuff, right? You got to buy food and all that. So it can be stressful. It's the time of year when we're supposed to be filled with joy, good cheer, and optimism, but can easily and readily be turned into overwhelming letdowns and joyless. So today we thank you, Linda, by the way, for stepping out, and Melinda for doing the advent candles. We talked about joy, the candle of joy, and Linda said, the shepherd's candle of joy signifies the long line of people who joyfully share the good news of the Savior's birth, which is what we should be doing. Joy is the second fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. And I don't know if you remember this, but on October 27, 2013, gee, that's 10 years ago, I brought a message on joy. And there's at least 195 scriptures related to joy, and I focused on a few, one being Psalm 33:20-22. My expert technician in the back there, ready to go. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield. For our hearts rejoice in Him, because we trust. Because we trust in His holy name. I think Mary did that in that process of having that conversation with Gabriel. I think she decided, I'm going to trust Him. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. Our hope. And those are things that have to do with the Advent, the Advent candle. Hope, trust, love. Joy is the overwhelming sense of comfort, great pleasure, jubilation, ecstasy, and rejoicing. And rejoicing is the act of being joyful. As C.S. Lewis said one time, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. J. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, and I know we all know this one, because we've all had to apply it at some point in time in our lives. Brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, mine's a little different. It says, brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, does it?
Yes.
Come your way?
Of course.
Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. That's how our endurance grows, through stuff. Your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when it's fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's this process that we're going through. It's not a nicety in our walk, but a necessity. Reggie Gore, this man right over here, on the 30th of May, 2021, he had a message called More Joy in Life. See, I do take notes. Remember that one?
No.
And I'm going to quote. He said, God wants us to thrive and be joyful. You think he wants us walking around with always being the poor, you know, poor Christian, and all that kind of stuff. There's so much stuff with the weight. I just can't take the weight. No, he wants us to thrive and be joyful. And he was talking in that particular message from Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I love this one too. For I am I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. We can try, the enemy can try. He can't. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, fear for today or worry about tomorrow, not even the power from hell can separate us from God's love. Good enough reason for being joyful. Reggie also said, stay with him. Keep his commands. Stay with him. Don't veer off. And we do. When we veer off, if we're focused on him, we can veer back to where we need to be. John Holt, just last week, said, joy does not come from our surroundings and circumstances. Give it all up to him and you will find joy and keep it. And like those songs from last week, Jolinda had one called How Can I Keep From Singing? And it was just a powerful song about just being joyful no matter what. Kelly had one count your blessings, even though I can't count that high regarding all that you have done in my life. Those are joys. You know, you look at this is the bad situation here, but this is a good one. And like I said before, no matter what was going on with me, when I saw that little girl go up to Melinda and start playing and singing, and I asked him, I said, how does she know that song? And he said, well, I asked her that we were listening to her on the way up. And she's singing, I mean, not all the verses, but the choruses.
Yeah.
And we sing songs with her, like we're in the car or something, got the message on, and she's singing. Like, how does she know that? Because her parents are bringing her up in faith. That's part of it. And then there's another one that when the worship team played, like I tear up, it says, and you have been so, so good all of my life, no matter how bad it is. So in the midst of life, the things that are thrown to us, we need a little help, and it comes from the form of Emmanuel. We can then stay joyful, which is different from being happy. Joyful is a state of the heart. Happy is kind of like a state of the mind, where, well, I'm happy today because this is going good, but I'm not so happy right now because things are good. Joy is a state of the heart, no matter what the circumstance. Yeah, you're going to fight through it and struggle through it, but you can't let that get you down. How do I know that? Because I'd let it get you down. It happened that first Christmas so many years ago to both Mary and Joseph. The wise men, the angels, the shepherds, all the way through that whole story, joy came in. step back from the season's traps. There are traps out there. You know, we used to do a lot of things, you know, like sand swap and whatever they call those things.
Yankee swap?
Yankee swap and the secret Santa, that's what I was thinking of. And so I combined those two. But, and those were fun, but like with my family, we're a little more conservative than the Holtz are. Where's Diane? She left. But like now, we kind of just get together. And there's not a lot of presents and stuff. I mean, we have little kids, so they get things, but it's not like it used to just being together, you know? And it's like Bob Marley said, you know Bob Marley? And I can't remember Bob Marley, but he was talking about Christmas. But like every day he has something on. And he said, and I think it was his sister Susie or somebody, said she bought me a Dunkin' Donuts card for Christmas. He said, thanks a lot, sis. I got a cup of coffee for Christmas. You know how he talks. I can't do it.
You
got a cup of coffee for Christmas.
That's a reggae guy, the comedian, right?
Yeah, the comedian. He was at the grocery store the other day. He was buying some stuff. It was like, oh. But anyway, yeah, thanks a lot. I got a cup of coffee for Christmas. But it's not what you get. It's a thought behind it, I guess. But, so sometimes we get caught up in the worldly Christmas thing instead of a spiritual Christmas thing. Sing with joy with the angels now, just like the first Noel. Just knowing God is with us should give us joy. I saw a thing the other day that showed the shepherds, Mary and Joseph were going towards Bethlehem, and they had Bethlehem spelled wrong. There was Noel in there, so it was Beth. That time or whatever, and at the bottom it said the first Noel. sometimes I have to say, can you explain that one to me? Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Are you upright in heart? Because if you're upright in heart, and you're connected to Him, you should be joyful. And then 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. I didn't write this one in my notes, but I... We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe testing by affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed into the wealth of their generosity. During their severe testing by affliction and their deep poverty, they overflowed into the wealth of their generosity because they had an abundance of joy. The Daily Bread had a story, was it today, about, I don't know if some of you folks, a lot of you folks read that, but it was about this group of kids in a poverty-stricken area where they were doing like a mission thing or whatever, and they invited the kids to come to kids from an orphanage to come to this gathering of these kids in poverty. And the kids in poverty went out and sold bottles, you know, they collected bottles on the side of the road or whatever, and they got some money and they bought gifts for the kids from the orphanage. And these are kids in severe, extreme poverty. That's joy. Joy comes from understanding and accepting our position in Christ, who we are in Him, and what He has done for us. John 16:22, no one nor no circumstance should take away the joy from us. I skipped something that I wanted to do earlier. I'm going to do it now, and then I'm going to finish up with a couple of comments. Dan, I don't know if you want to make a call. Jerry, this is a song, We Need Emmanuel. Yeah. So A few years ago, Dan connected with Brandon Heath, and I know a lot of you folks know this, but we had a concert at the farm, and then we went to a concert over in Vermont. But he came out with this new song, and I asked.